So Heavenly Father, we pray that as we think about your word now, we might find that we hear you speaking to us in the very depths of our being. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do be seated. There was this couple doing their Christmas shopping, and the shopping centre was packed, and as the wife walked around, she was surprised to discover that her husband was now nowhere to be seen. She was quite upset. They had a lot to do. And so eventually she called him on a mobile to ask him where he was, and in a quiet voice he said, "Do you remember the jewelers we went to about 5 years ago, where you fell in love with that diamond necklace that we couldn't afford, and I told you that one day I'd get it for you?" The wife choked up and she started to cry, and she said, "Yes, I do remember that shop. Well," he said, "I'm in the pub next door." Christmas can be a bit of an anticlimax sometimes, can't it? I know that's a bit of a Scroogey thing to say on Christmas Eve. Do you remember what Charles Dickens as Scrooge said about Christmas? He said, "Every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." Well, I do love Christmas, but just occasionally I feel a bit of sympathy for Scrooge's outlook. Maybe you do too. A survey in 2010 revealed that 18% of people agree with the statement, "I dread Christmas." That's nearly one in five people asked. Perhaps it's the commercialization of Christmas, the expense, you know, the money, the presents. Or maybe it's relationships at Christmas time. They estimate that 3 million family rows will take place in the UK tomorrow, okay? Or maybe it's the over-the-top jolliness and the enforced fun of the season. Well, I'm glad you're here this evening. I don't know the reason that you're here particularly, but I'm here. Maybe you are too. I'm here because I'm a sinner, and I want to give thanks for my Saviour. Behind all the presents and the relationships and the fun of Christmas is Jesus. Jesus is a better gift and a greater friend who gives a deeper joy than anything else in the world. Gift, friendship, joy. Gift first. In the first reading we had a moment ago, written by John. John was one of Christ's disciples. He got to know Jesus as well as anybody got to know Jesus. But in that reading, he has a striking way of describing Jesus. He calls him the eternal life, or just the life. He just calls Jesus, that's his name for Jesus, the life. John is saying, he's saying a very startling thing about Jesus just there. What he's saying is that it's not just that Jesus had eternal life, or even that he gave eternal life to people. He's saying that Jesus is eternal life in some way. Jesus is the gift that meets our deepest need. I guess, you know, one way or another, every religion is about eternal life. I mean, you know, of course they are. Of course religions are about that, because one way or another, we are all afraid of dying at some level. So every founder of every religion wants to talk to us at some point about where you can get eternal life and how you can find it and what path you have to follow. And they point you away from themselves and they give you something to do. Except for Jesus. Jesus was strikingly different, because he comes along and he doesn't say, "Look over there for eternal life," or "Walk in that path for eternal life," or "Do this," whatever it might be, to get eternal life. He says, "I am eternal life. And if you've got me, you've got eternal life. There is nothing else for you to achieve or to attain." Now, why did Jesus put it quite like that? Why didn't he give us a quest or a path to follow or a challenge to do like the other religious leaders? Do you know why? Because he didn't think we were up to it. From start to finish, Jesus' whole life was about being a savior. Who needs a savior? Who needs a savior? We had a carol service here a couple of weeks ago for the wonderful Plymouth lifeboat crew who do such an amazing job around the coast here. And I was reading the account of a rescue last year. A couple were walking out along a pier from one of the fishing villages, and there was a 4-meter swell in the water. And suddenly a wave came over the wall, and their words, the wave hit them like a train. And they were both sucked back into the sea. And someone threw her a rope and dragged her out, and he grabbed onto a ladder up the side of the wall of the pier, but he'd broken his leg and he couldn't climb it, just hanging on for dear life. The swell kept falling and rising around him. He was 3 meters under the water at times, and the only way to get him out was by launching the lifeboat. And afterwards, the girl said, she said, just remember, once I'd got out, seeing the lifeboat rescue coordinator running backwards and forwards, organizing everybody. Thank God he did. And Jesus' point is that spiritually speaking, we're in the same kind of situation. And the only way to get us out was by launching the lifeboat, so to speak, by sending a savior. Or to use John's own words, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. Gift. Jesus is the gift. And just like the girl on the pier, we meet together this evening to say, thank God for that. It's always puzzled me that Christmas has become a bigger thing than Easter, because Easter is where Christmas is heading. Easter is why Jesus was born. Easter is about a God who died and rose again. I mean, that is big. That's huge. It always puzzled me why Easter isn't as big as Christmas, therefore. But maybe that's why. Precisely because of what Easter is about. Easter's a bit unsettling in a way. A baby in a manger is kind of safe. You can cuddle a baby and hand them back. Thank goodness. But a God who rose from the grave isn't safe. He might come knocking on your door. He might come seeking you out. You might sense him this evening. Gary Grant runs a chain of toy stores. There's one of them at the top of Drake Circus, the entertainer store. And I was moved to read an article by him about, it was about the night that he became a Christian. And he said until then, the whole religious thing to him was very remote. It wasn't a living thing. But he says, I walked out of church that night realizing that God really, really loved me. He said, no one had ever told me that before. But at Christmas, we remember that his name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us, because the essence of the Christian faith is not distance, but presence. Not God keeping his distance from us, but God becoming a real presence in our lives. So John can speak about friendship, gift, friendship. Friendship with God, which he calls fellowship. And he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when someone or anyone says, Jesus, I think I need you in my life. I need your help. Launch the lifeboat, so to speak. Then that love and that friendship become a reality for that person. The journalist Malcolm Muggeridge once described a striking experience he had of this when he was in Russia. He writes this, in Kiev, where I found myself on a Sunday morning, on an impulse, I turned into a church where a service was in progress. It was packed tight. but I managed to squeeze myself against a pillar whence I could survey the congregation, young and old, peasants and townsmen, parents and children, even a few in uniform. Never before or since have I participated in such worship. The sense conveyed of turning to God in great affliction was overpowering to me. Though I could not, of course, follow the service, I knew little bits of it. For instance, where the congregation say there is no help for them save from God. What intense feeling they put into those words. In their minds, I knew, as in mine, was a picture of those desolate, abandoned villages, the hunger and the hopelessness, the cattle trucks being loaded with humans in the dawn light. Where were they to turn for help? Not to the Kremlin, nor to the forces of progress and democracy in the West. Every possible human agency found wanting. So only God remained. And to God they turned with a passion, a dedication, a humility impossible to convey. And they took me with them. I felt closer to God then than I ever had before or am likely to again. In other words, he's saying Jesus draws near in friendship to those who know they need him. That's why we have Holy Communion on Christmas Eve. At first sight, it's just a bit weird to celebrate someone's death. That's what communion is, of course, celebrating the death of Christ. Weird to celebrate his death on his birthday. But his death was the way that he met our deepest needs. So when we come up to the rail and receive the bread and the wine, we're not saying we're worthy in some way. We're saying we're needy. We're saying we're sinners. We're saying we're sinners, but we've got a friend. Gift, friendship, joy. What's the difference between joy and happiness? If joy and happiness, picture it this way, if joy and happiness were friends, happiness would be the unfaithful one of the two. If happiness was like a friend, she'd be the kind of friend who flits in and out of life. She's great fun. It's great to have her while she's around. But you just know that when life gets tough, the friend happiness is going to disappear. That's the kind of friend happiness is. But joy, she's a friend who sticks with you through thick and thin. And it sounds kind of paradoxical that you can be joyful even when life is sad or tough or difficult. Happiness depends on my circumstances, and they change. They change all the time, for better or for worse. Joy depends on Jesus and everything he's done for me. And Jesus is rock solid. I'd love to invite you to our, if you're local, I'd love to invite you to our services in January when we're going to try and think about all this a little bit more. How is it that Jesus can provide a joy that lasts even through stress and anxiety, resentment, difficulties in relationships, loneliness, and so on? All those changing circumstances of life. That's in January. But in the meantime, for now, what I want to do is wish you a very joyful Christmas. And by that, I do not mean a happy Christmas. It may or may not feel happy for you at the moment. There will be a real range in this room. What I mean is, may Jesus, who is a better gift and a greater friend, may Jesus give you a deeper joy than anything else in this world can this Christmas. Amen.